Yeah, so I'll be talking today afternoon about some results on the D1, D5 system. This is some work which I have done with Gautam Mandal and Sandavadia, and some extensions which I've been thinking about recently. So before I actually give the plan of the talk, I will give a small introduction about what the D1, D5 system and some results which are known about it. So the D1, D5 system is actually a solution of type 2B gravity. And the relevant terms in the action which we need to know are the Ramon-Ramon 2 form. The Ramon-Ramon 2 form, the dilaton, and the metric. So, and we are looking at a solution of Q5 D5 brain along the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 directions. And with this 6, 7, 8, 9 directions compactified on the torus of volume V4, and the Q1, D1 brains along X5. So, and actually, we will look at solutions which are listed to the 10 dimensions. We won't actually look at solutions which are compactified. So, the metric of this system considered is given as this, and it's easy to remember. Actually, the harmonic functions, which are f1 and f5, are given negative half coefficients, which are in the transverse direction, which are in the longitudinal directions of the brain considered, and transverse directions will have positive half coefficients. So, and there's the field configuration for it. We have both the magnetic B05. The electric the Ramon-Ramon 2 pawn from the D1 brains, and the magnetic Ramon-Ramon 2 pawn from the D5 brains. And the solution is actually a BPS solution, and it preserves 8 out of the 32 supersymmetries. Now we'll just briefly introduce the gauge theory for this D1, D5 system. So basically the D1 brains are along the 5 direction. And so there's Neumann direction. There's Neumann boundary conditions for that, and the D5 brains are wrapped on 6, 7, 8, 9, and there's Neumann directions, the boundary conditions for that, and the Neumann Dirichlet boundary conditions are also on the top. Okay, we'll come to that, and I will call these labels, these directions, rotations along these directions, SO4 external. And the rotations along these directions is SO4 internal. So, and the gauge theory for the system is just obtained by quantizing the massless open string and keeping the massless modes of these open strings which join the various brains. And before we go into that, just let's look at the symmetries. The SO1,9. Is broken down to SO1,1 with SO4 external and SO4 internal, and there are 8 supersymmetries. And so the theory would be actually n equals 2 and d equals 4, and it lives in the common 1 plus 1 dimension, and we are actually ignoring modes on the torus. So, and we will organize the field content according to n equals 2. So the 1-1 string are just given by the dimensional reduction of the UQ1 gauge theory from 10 to 2. And I will call these fields will be organized as the vector multiplet. Okay. And these are the hypermultiplet. These are the gauge bosons. Okay, we are looking at only the, I'll just discuss only the bosonic field. And so these are the gauge bosons, okay, along the phis are the gauge bosons along the compact direction. And these are the gauge bosons along the non-compact, and these are also the gauge bosons. I'll call these hypermultiplet because if you look at the supercharge would have to carry an SC2R index, and that SC2R comes actually from the diagonal of the SO4 internal. So, and since these hypermultiplets have to transform into SC2R, so these fields are organized as the hypermultiplets. And so, Similarly, we have the 5-5 strings. And they actually they give a gauge group UQ5, okay, it's the same case for that. And since we are actually ignoring modes on the torus, okay, we will actually call these also as compact bosons, and these are also compact bosons. So the non-trivial ones are the 1-5 strings. So the 1-5 strings bosonic field from the 1-5 strings comes from the Novoshvat vector. And what happens is that the world sheet boundary conditions are such that these become anti-periodic, because in the 6, 7, 8, 9 directions there's Neumann Dirichlet boundary conditions, and these become anti-periodic and these become periodic, and since these are periodic, they form a spinner representation of S of 4. I mean, the ground state is actually a spinner, and there is a zero point energy which is zero for these things. And the ground state energy for these things, I mean, the ground state actually forms a spinner, and they give rise to a complex scalar which transforms under SA2R. And these are bifundamentals because, the one string, the one end lies on the one branch and one end is on the five branch, so they are bifundamentals of UQ1 cross UQ5. So let's just summarize everything. So the gauge theory which we just discussed before is a 4,4 super Yangmills in 1 plus 1 dimension, and it has a gauge group UQ1 cross UQ5, and the matter content, which is important for us, are the hypermultiplets which transform as adjoints of UQ1 and adjoints of UQ5, and the other hypermultiplets, chi's, which transform under the bifundamentals. Now the bound state for this system would be described by the Higgs branch of this theory, and the Higgs branch this is naively because the Higgs branch is the Coulomb branch is actually giving rise to separations between the brains, so it's described by the Higgs branch. And in the infrared, the Higgs branch will flow to conformal field theory of this with 4-4 superconformal symmetry with this central charge, and the central charge is found by rough counting the classical modulized space dimension. And there are arguments this modulized space, the target space of this conformal field theory, should be actually a symmetric product. So this argument is because the Q1 brains in the UQ5 gauge theory can be thought of as instantons. And the instanton modulized space, at least the cohomology of this modulized space, can be found figured out by dualities, and it suggests that it is actually this is a resolution of this symmetric product of I'm actually ignoring center of mass, so symmetric product of the torus with Q1 Q5 times. And there is no precise so far. There has been no precise connection between the Higgs branch. I mean, the description via the Higgs branch this of the gauge theory and this conformal field theory on this target space. And we will use both of the descriptions for two different questions which we are going to address. So we'll just go over to the near horizon geometry of the system is given by taking alpha prime going to zero limit with various objects kept constants. And the thing to remember is that the near horizon geometry is ADS3 cross S3 cross T4 with the radius of S3 given the 1/4 root of Q1 Q5. And this is the dimensionless volume of the torus. Okay, this is another point. And the Mallesonnas conjecture for this is that type 2B string theory on ADS on this geometry ADS 3 cross S 3 cross T4 is dual to the Higgs branch of this system. So now let's describe the plan. So what we will do in the first part of the talk is to explicitly construct the chiral primaries for the single particle states of the superconformal field theory on this orbifold, symmetric product orbifold, and compare it with supergravity. And just as an example to exhibit the method, we'll actually focus on the marginal operators of the superconformal field theory. And the next, we will actually try to find an effective action for the probe brain, for a probe object, basically, in this near horizon geometry of the D1, D5 system from the gauge theory point of view. And finally, we try to address the question whether the Hawking radiation, since you know what the moduli will be, whether the Hawking radiation cross-section of the D1, D5 black hole, which is actually related to the D1, D5 system, I will say a little later how it's related, will be affected when the moduli are turned on. So to use the conformal field theory, we will actually use we'll use the free Lagrangian of this conformal field theory, Q1, Q5 copies of them, and we will use mod out by the orbifold action, basically. And so these are the bosons, and they have four indices. And since actually we'll be finally interested in the twisted sectors and things like that, so we would actually not restrict the coordinates to be T4, and it is enough for us to restrict, I mean, to think of it as R4, because actually we will look at twisted sectors, I mean, twist operators concentrated at singularities of the of this orbifold action. And so the so using this action, we can actually construct the superconformal algebra just by taking copies of these and finding stress finding the various generators. There are expressions for those. And so the generators, some facts of this algebra which we need to know, the generators are the stress energy tensor and an SU2 doublet of supercharges, and there is an SU2 R Kac-Moody algebra for that. So the global charges, so what we are going to do is whatever states we construct, we will be actually classifying these states under the global generators of this algebra. So the global generators are just the generators due to the global part of each of them, that is the L's and the J's and the G's, and they form actually a supergroup, which is SU1,1/2. So what we need to know is something called short multiplets of this SU1,1. They are actually analog of DPS states. They are high, in addition to the fact that, I mean, first let's look at what is the chiral primary. So the chiral primary is just the highest weight states, I mean, the usual conditions for highest weight states, like, you know, the raising operators, the lowering operators are zero, acting on them will be zero. And they are classified by the weight and the angular momentum quantum number, that is SU2R. And in addition to that, they have this condition that part of the raising operators of the supercurrent are acting on them will be zero. So this gives the fact that the weight will be equal to the angular momentum, and so it's a chiral primary. And the short multiplets are constructed out of this chiral primary by the remaining raising operators of the supercharges. So I have just given a brief table of what the short multiplets will be. And so this is the remaining raising operators, and it is important to notice that the angular momentum decreases while the weight increases, and there is various degeneracy for them. So the degeneracy is just due to the angular momentum degeneracy. And we, since we have left and right movers, we'll have a tensor product of both of these algebras, and they will be actually denoted by 2H plus 1 and 2H prime plus 1 short multiplex. So, and an important case where all the marginal operators lie are 2,2s, which actually terminates here, because, 2 means h is equal to half, and it terminates here. So, in addition to these states, we'll also use one more state, one more algebra to classify the states. And that's SO4I, which is actually rotations of the torus. So these states one can actually realize an SO4 global current, global charge out of the various fields, and you can construct them such that they actually transform close with the supersymmetric algebra. So they don't destroy the n equals 4 supersymmetric algebra. So in addition to all these, we will actually, okay, so in summary, we will use the SE2R quantum number, the weight, and the quantum number due to this SO4I to classify the states. So let's just first construct the resolutions. So that is marginal operators of the symmetric product. Okay. So to find any, as we saw in the short multiplet, to find any short multiplet completely, we actually first focus on constructing the chiral primary. So for instance, for this marginal operators, which are actually in 2,2s, so the untwisted sectors are actually trivial. So they are just bilinears of fermions, in the diagonal torus, where you actually sum over all the torus. So this is the analog of basically something like dz1 wedge dz bar 1. If you think of the torus as a manifold, and you have various basically 1-1 forms, the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic. So these operators are constructed like that. So there are four of these of operators. And to find the marginal operator, one has to actually construct the top component. So I just said, okay, these operators are actually chiral primary with weight half. Actually, they are relevant operators, and I think it has not been investigated whether what will they do. So the chiral primaries, these are bottom component, and there are 4, 2, 2, and the marginal operators are in the top component, which can be actually found by just looking at the leading pole of this. Basically, the raising operators of the supercurrents and acting on these chiral primaries would give the top component. And they have weight, the top component you can actually find, they have weight 1-1, which is as expected, and they transform as scalars under SE2R algebra. So here in this case, we can actually easily evaluate what the top components are, and they will be actually bosonic del xi and del xa with summation over the A index. And there are, so we have, so, and there are 16 of these, and rough SO4I classification of this would give that the symmetric part transforms as, so there is no way of distinguishing these operators other than using SO4I. So we'll give 3,3, and the anti-symmetric will be like self-dual and anti-self-dual, and a scalar 1,1. The rest quantum numbers are the same, and there is one more short multiplet from the Z2 twist. So that's what we'll discuss now. So for twisted sectors, to find the twisted sectors of any orbifold, so they'll be labeled by actually conjugacy classes. So here it's the conjugacy classes of the symmetric group. And to find the various conjugacy classes, it's simply, basically you have to solve these equations, which sum up to, basically it's various partitions of Q1, Q5. And to find the Z2 twist, it's a simple class. So basically, N1 of this is the rest, Q1, Q5 minus 2, and N2 is 1. So basically, a representative element is simple, and this is easier to see, is actually X1 and X2, where X1 and X2 are interchanged, or cyclically, and interchanged, and the rest go into itself. Now, the procedure to construct twisted sectors, to twist operators, is actually to diagonalize the group action. In this case, it's simple. You just go to the center of mass and the relative coordinates. And what happens is that this is the invariant, this has eigenvalue 1, and this has eigenvalue minus 1. And these are actually roots of 1. And so the singularity locally is R4 by Z2. Now alpha by z2, shift operators are easy to construct. So there are four operators. The alpha by z2. Basically, these are the bosonic twists of the two. You can organize the four fields as complex two complex fields, and these are the bosonic twists of those, and these are the corresponding fermionic twists. They have to come in such combination because they have to satisfy the fact that they are angular momentum half objects. And you can construct all of them, actually. So I have said here, these are the bosonic twist operators, and these are the fermionic twists. And H fields are actually the bosonized version of the fermionic partners of the boson. The phi is the relative coordinate which you are using. And so 1, 2 here is a representative element, and these are the quantum numbers. Now, we actually have to construct the twist operators for the entire conjugacy class, and for that we got to just sum over the various representative elements, and that's what we do, and we get one twist operators for that. So there is, out of the four, there is one chiral primary, and this chiral primary would actually give, so this chiral primary, if we act by the raising operators, would give four top components, four top components, and one can actually find the SU2i quantum number. There's again no way of distinguishing them other than using the SU2i, and one can actually find what are the SU2i quantum numbers of these, and it can be organized in this way. So they are actually they transform under three under one of the SU2i's, and they don't transform. Like they are actually spin 1 under one of the SU2i's, and one of them is a scalar. Now, if one knows about the representation of the alpha by z2 singularity in terms of the linear sigma model, then these twist operators would correspond to the pi Lyapunov terms, and the SU2r there would be identified actually with the SU2i of this conformal field theory, and one can see that the quantum numbers actually match. So totally there are 20 marginal operators in all, and one would like actually to match this with supergravity operators.
So these operators you found, they are the ones that preserve all the operators that preserve both from a force.
Yeah, because they are top components. And
so yeah.
Yeah.
Chiral
primary. Yeah. So then, so if you want to find the fields, the supergravity fields corresponding to these operators, then one uses the ADS3 the correspondence for this case, and what one needs is only the matching of the symmetries, and the symmetries are just the global part of the n equals 4 super algebra, and the isometries of ADS3 cross S3. And the isometries like SO2, 2 will be mapped onto the SL2R of the conformal algebra, and the SO4 would be the SU2 of the SO4 of the sphere would be actually the SU2R and SU2R of the conformal algebra. And that would be enough to actually fix what are these in some way. So the 20 of them are actually massless scalars by the mass and dimension relation, and they're scalars because they don't have an SU2R quantum number, SU2R quantum number, and they're also top components, they are killed by the supercharges. And so now to distinguish further, these 20 fields, actually there are 20 fields from supergravity side. One has to use the SO4i, and one can find that these in supergravity, out of the 25 massless scalars which naively occur in the near horizon, actually only 20 of them are massless, and one can find these are the massless fields. And so these are the traceless component of the perturbations of the torus. with a 3-3, and the Ramond-Ramond two form in the scalar direction, in the torus direction, with a 3-1 and 1-3, and the six-dimensional deluton, and the the Neuschwartz self-dual part of this thing will be like 1-3, which can be mapped onto the twist operator 1, and the scalar, there's another scalar which can be other twist component. This is actually not a one-to-one mapping, because you can see that this and this are the same here, and this are the same. But there's a reason to identify this with this and with this. I have a concept.
The massive?
The remaining massive. I think I just understand it by solving the near horizon geometry, and then if you actually solve these equations, look at the wave equations in this geometry, it turns out that the other one is massive actually. Like out of 25 scalars, there are 25 scalars of six-dimensional maximal supergravity. I mean, type 2b in 6D have 25 scalars actually, and out of that 5 becomes massive, and that is part of that. The background has Ramond-Ramond. Yeah. So you're wondering the coupling, or you're thinking of the coupling. So the modulized state for the scalars from supergravity is known to be SO4, 5, modded out of SO4, 5. And from the superconformal field theory also, this modulized space can be mapped. There is a result due to Cecotti, in which if you have 4, 4 superconformal algebra with 20 marginal operators, then this would be the modulized space, actually. So now let's just look at we have used the orbifold conformal field theory to describe the symmetric product. So what does it mean? So if you use the orbifold conformal field theory as we have used, it's actually non-singular. And what we saw was actually you can show that the higher twist operators are higher order, higher weights actually. So the most important twist operator is R4 by Z2 in this case. And R4 by Z2 description as a conformal field theory is singular if there is no trapped B flux. So therefore it means that there is actually a trapped B flux in this. Or from the linear sigma model perspective, this actually corresponds to theta is equal to pi. Therefore, in the supergravity, this background would be not the one which we have considered possibly. So it would be one in which, say, for instance, this would be turned on to some background. So we are describing, if you're using symmetric product, we are describing backgrounds for this. And possibly we can construct other backgrounds by actually deforming this thing using the various twist operators. So let's actually construct the other short multiplets. So the explicit construction for other short multiplets is, I'll describe that. So first construct actually the k-cycle twist operators. So basically the k-cycle twist operators rotates all the k bosons, and it actually goes on, it doesn't change the other coordinates. And to do that, as we did for the Z2 operation, you'll actually diagonalize the group action. And if you there's a way to diagonalize the group action for this, in the diagonal coordinates, basically the bosons just pick up phases. So locally, the orbifold is of this form. and one constructs twist operators for each of these obifolds and just multiplies them. And if you do that, okay, I'm doing it for a representative class, that is 1 to k, and you can sum it for all the quantity classes, I mean, for the various representative classes. And what happens is, if you find this is actually a chiral primary, you can show this is a chiral primary of weight, I think, k minus 1 by 2 of weight, and with angular momentum and weights equal. And to construct the various chiral primaries of this obifold corresponding to single particle state, one actually takes the chiral primary of the diagonal T4 and products it with various k-cycle primaries. And if you actually, this k-cycle terminates when k is equal to q1, q5, but if you actually tend q1, q5 to infinity, and if you look at the short multiplet structure, this is what turns out to be. It's a structure which actually with the collision spectrum of supergravity. I mean, you can actually look at the line